All right. Well, we're going to continue our little study that we began recently called What Does God Love? A series called What Does God Love? And friend, make no mistake about it. First and foremost, God loves what? That's it. He loves all the people of the world that he created. The Word of God says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So God loves the humanity he created. Would you agree with that? But there are certain character traits that God really loves. And our passage, interestingly, comes from Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, which talks about the seven sins that God really hates. And you might be wondering today, well, Jonathan, if you're going to preach a message on the character traits that God really loves, why do you choose a passage talking about the things that God really hates? You got it, brother. He's been listening. So, because if God really hates these seven sins, he must love their opposites. You agree with that? Last week we talked about the fourth thing on the list that God really hates in Proverbs 6, verse 18. Proverbs 6, 18. First half of it. God hates a heart that devises wicked schemes. What does this mean? It means that, that's right, he hates sin, unrighteousness, and evil in any shape or form. You know, sin cannot stand in the presence of God even for a moment, just as darkness cannot stand in the presence of light even for a split second. You agree with that? You know, God commands us in Leviticus 11:44. He says, "Be ye therefore holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy." Because if God hates a heart that devises wicked schemes, what does he love?
A pure heart.
A pure heart, a holy heart. A person who lives a holy life is a person who's living a life set apart unto God, consecrated to God, is living a life separate from sin. And how do we go about trying to live a holy life with God's strength? How do we go about living a holy life?
Seeking God.
Okay. Anybody else? By making his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord over every part of our life. The word Lord means ruler, the one in charge. Jesus wants to be the ruler of your thoughts. Thinking pure thoughts. He wants to be the ruler of what we do with our bodies. He wants to be the ruler of our spirits. He wants to be the ruler of our relationships. He wants to be in full control and charge of every single part of our existence. That's living a holy life. Today we're going to talk about the fifth thing on the list that God really hates. Proverbs 6, verse 18. God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil. We're going to talk about this briefly and then concentrate on its opposite, the good news. God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil. Really, this ties in with what we talked about last week. Because a person who's devising wicked schemes, a person who's thinking impure thoughts, unholy thoughts, and is meditating on those wrong thoughts, eventually may act upon those thoughts. That making sense? Think about it this way. Say somebody out there innocently says or does something to you, trying to shoot the breeze, make conversation with you, and you take it to heart. You get offended. You get insulted. The person was just trying to joke around with you. Didn't mean any harm. And you take it to heart and you plant that seed of offense in the soil of your heart and you nurture it. You think about it. And think about it and meditate upon it. And that seed of offense then becomes bitterness on the inside of you. And that bitterness could turn to anger. And anger without a good cause, anger unchecked, God forbid, could turn to physical murder. You see, a person whose feet are quick to rush into evil will most likely hurt or harm another person. Why? Because the love of God is not in that person's heart. If a person is eager to rush into evil and to harm somebody else, most likely the love of God is not in that person's heart. Why? Because Paul the Apostle writes in Romans 13:10 that love, God's love, does no harm to its neighbor. So here's the good news. If God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil, what does he love? If God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil, which could hurt other people eventually, what does he love?
He likes somebody to stay steadfast in the word.
All right. Anybody else? Good answer.
He loves a pure heart.
Run back to him. Okay. Say it again.
Run back to him.
Run back to him. Anybody else? If God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil, feet that are eager to harm somebody else, what does he love? Feet that are quick. He loves people. He loves feet that are quick to share his gospel. Let's turn to Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. If you're there, just lift your head up. All right, Isaiah 52, 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Isaiah 52, 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 10 records the same thoughts. Romans 10, verse 14. Romans 10, verse 14. It's a simple message, but it's, I think, something that we all need to hear. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Verse 15. Of Romans 10. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So how many would agree biblically today that if God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil, he loves feet, people who bring good news? Makes sense, right? Straight from the Word of God. It's not something I made up. Friend, the Great Commission. Make no mistake about it. Every believer in this world, every believer in this room today is called to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Should I say it again? Every believer in this world, every believer sitting in this room today is called to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Mark 16, verse 15. Now, the different gospel writers recorded the Great Commission in different ways. And this is the way Mark records it in Mark 16, verse 15. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Now, this word go in verse 15 is in the command form. He's commanding us. Jesus is commanding us, you and me, to go and preach his gospel. You know, it's not the great suggestion. It's not the great suggestion. It's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. You see, Jesus didn't say perhaps or maybe or if you please share my gospel. What does he say? He says, I command you to go and communicate my good news. And you might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, how can I bring the gospel to the lost when I've had such a sinful past myself? You don't understand. I've had a really messed up past. How can I bring God's good news to those who are hurting, those who are lost, when I was such a sinner myself in the past? Guess who brings up your past? The devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one who brings guilt trips. He's the one who puts condemnation on us. So when he tries to do that to you, quote the word, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How many here remember Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul? What was Saul at one time?
A persecutor of Christians.
He was a teacher of the law.
He was a persecutor of Christians, friend. He was one who was breathing out murderous threats against those who followed Jesus Christ. But in Acts chapter 9, you can read that Saul had a tremendous conversion experience. And Ananias laid his hands on Saul, and Saul became a proclaimer of the gospel to the lost, to the Jews first, and then to the Greeks. And you find that Saul was diligent. He was committed to bringing the gospel to the lost. He established churches. He wrote over one half of the New Testament. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, if you've been delivered out of bondage to darkness, you have a responsibility to help snatch others out as well. You know, God did not save you just to get spiritually fat. He saved you to pass on the goods to someone else, the good news of Jesus Christ. Who better to help a drug addict get delivered than someone whom Jesus Christ delivered from drugs? Who better to help an alcoholic get delivered than someone whom Jesus Christ, by the power of his gospel, delivered from alcoholism? Who better to help deliver one to looking at things that are wrong with their eyes than someone who has been delivered from looking at things wrong with their eyes by the power of Jesus Christ, the gospel? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Who better? We all have a responsibility to communicate the gospel. How do we communicate the gospel? Anybody have any ideas? How are we to go about communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Personal testimonies.
That's good. Personal testimonies. Anybody else? Spreading his word. That's good. Anybody else? Say it again.
Inviting people to go to church.
Let's look at what Paul writes in Romans chapter 15. All right. Let's look at Romans 15, verses 17 and 18. Romans 15, 17 and 18. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God, but what by what I have said and done. How do we communicate the gospel?
Pardon?
How do we communicate the gospel? According to Romans 15, verse 18. By word and action. He says, I will not venture to speak of anything except with what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said, words, and done, action.
Word will I.
That's it. We're to be the mouth and the feet of Jesus, friend, to a lost and dying world. You and I are to be the mouth and the feet of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Do you know that you might be the only Jesus another person ever hears to snatch them out of the clutches of hell? You may be the only Jesus another person ever hears to snatch them out of the clutches of hell. I want to read you a story. It was sent to me by email. It's powerful. It's called The Pastor and His Son. I don't know if anybody here has ever seen this, but it's good. A good reminder of God's love. Every Sunday afternoon after the morning service at the church, the pastor and his 11-year-old son would go out into their town and hand out gospel tracts. This particular Sunday afternoon, as it came time for the pastor and his son to go to the streets with their tracts, it was very cold outside, as well as pouring down rain. The boy bundled up in his warmest and driest clothes and said, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready." His pastor dad asked, "Ready for what?" Dad, it's time we gather our tracks together and go out. The dad responds, son, it's very cold outside and it's pouring down rain. The boy gives his dad a surprised look asking, but dad, aren't people still going to hell even though it's raining? Dad answers, son, I'm not going out in this weather. Despondently, the boy asks, dad, can I go please? His father hesitated for a moment, then said, son, you can go. Here are the tracks. Be careful, son. Thanks, dad. And with that, he was off and out into the rain. His 11-year-old boy walked the streets of the town, going door to door and handing everybody he met in the street a gospel tract. After 2 hours of walking in the rain, he was soaking, bone-chilled, wet, and down to his very last tract. He stopped on a corner and looked for someone to hand the tract to, but the streets were totally deserted. Then he turned toward the first home he saw and started up the sidewalk to the front door and rang the doorbell. He rang the bell, but nobody answered. He rang it again and again, but still no one answered. He waited, but still no answer. Finally, this 11-year-old trooper turned to leave, but something stopped him. Again, he turned to the door and rang the bell and knocked loudly on the door with his fist. He waited, something holding him there on the front porch. He rang again, and this time the door slowly opened. Standing in the doorway was a very sad-looking elderly lady. She softly asked, "What can I do for you, son?" With radiant eyes and a smile that lit up her world, the little boy said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry if I disturbed you, but I just want to tell you that Jesus really does love you. And I came to give you my very last gospel tract, which will tell you all about Jesus and his great love." With that, he handed her his last tract and turned to leave. She called him as he departed, "Thank you, son, and God bless you." Well, the following Sunday morning in the church, Pastor Dad was in the pulpit. As the service began, he asked, it gets better, okay, "Does anybody have any testimony or want to say anything?" Slowly in the back row of the church, an elderly lady stood to her feet. As she began to speak, a look of glorious radiance came from her face. "No one in this church knows me. I've never been here before. You see, before last Sunday, I was not a Christian. My husband passed away some time ago, leaving me totally alone in this world. Last Sunday, being a particularly cold and rainy day, it was even more so in my heart that I had come to the end of the line where I was no longer had any hope or will to live. So I took a rope and a chair and ascended to the stairway into the attic of my home. I fastened the rope securely to a rafter in the roof, then stood on the chair and fastened the other end of the rope around my neck. Standing on that chair so lonely and brokenhearted, I was about to leap off when suddenly the loud ringing of my doorbell downstairs startled me. I thought, oh, wait a minute, and whoever it is will go away. I waited and waited, but the ringing doorbell seemed to get louder and more insistent. And the person ringing also started knocking loudly. I thought to myself again, who on earth could this be? Nobody ever rings my bell or comes to see me. I loosened the rope from my neck and started for the front door. All the while, the bell rang louder and louder. When I opened the door and I looked, I could hardly believe my eyes. For there on my front porch was the most radiant and angelic little boy I had ever seen in my life. His smile, oh, I can never describe it to you. Those words that came from his mouth caused my heart that had long been dead to leap to life as he exclaimed with cherub-like voice, ma'am, I just came to tell you that Jesus really does love you. Then he gave me his gospel tract that I now hold in my hand. As the little angel disappeared back into the cold rain, I closed my door and read slowly every word of this gospel tract. Then I went up into my attic to get my rope and chair. I wouldn't be needing them anymore. You see, I am now a happy child of the King. Since the address of your church was on the back of the gospel tract, I have come here to personally say thank you to God's little angel who came just in the nick of time, and by doing so, spared my soul from an eternity in hell. There was not a dry eye in the church, and the shouts of praise and honor to the King resounded off the very rafters of the building. Pastor Dad descended from the pulpit to the front pew where the little angel was seated. He took his son in his arms and sobbed uncontrollably. Probably no church has had a more glorious moment, and probably this universe has never seen a papa that was more filled with love and honor for his son, except for one. God with his son. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
God used a little 11-year-old boy to go to a lady who was about to commit suicide and tell her, ma'am, Jesus really does love you. And it saved her soul from hell.
You may be the only Jesus another person ever hears with their ears. And you can help lead that person into relationship with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
If God could do it through a little 11-year-old boy, He can do it through you and me. Amen? He's given us mouths, the ability to speak into somebody else's life. Not only may you be the only Jesus another person may ever hear, you may be the only Jesus another person ever sees in action. The feet of Jesus. As you go about your daily activities in life, friend, demonstrate the gospel to the people needier than you that God sends across your path. And you might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, I'm so much in need myself. How can I communicate the gospel? Friends, you can communicate it through your actions. Remember, Paul the Apostle writes in Romans 15:18, by what I have said and done, I have communicated the gospel to the Gentiles. You can communicate the gospel through your actions. There is somebody out there less fortunate than yourself. There's somebody out there tonight that's going to sleep under a bridge. There is somebody out there tonight that is going to sleep on a street corner. You might be the only Jesus they ever see to snatch them out of eternal damnation. Friend, you've got great potential locked up on the inside of you. You can do it. You can communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ just like somebody standing on a pulpit. You are just as important in sharing this good news. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. You know, we've heard it said that actions speak louder than words. And in sharing the gospel, a lot of times actions do speak louder than words. Back on May 8th, it was a Friday night, I was walking to my house and I noticed a man that was, he was around 62nd and Yale, and he was sitting on the sidewalk. He had missed his bus and off his wheelchair. He was trying to tighten the wheel of his wheelchair. And so I just saw him there and I just couldn't pass by him. I said, "Sir, why don't you hold on just 1 second? I'll be back in about 15 or 20 minutes. I went and got my truck and, you know, and it was late at night. It was like 10:30 at night. This was on May 8th. It was a Friday night. And he lived out by Pine and Yale. I mean, way, way up there north in Tulsa. And so basically I came back, loaded up his wheelchair, put him in the front seat of my car, and he had me go to 21st and Utica to buy his prescription at MedX, I think it was. Bought his prescription, and then I drove him to his house, man. We went through Pine and Lewis. It was kind of a dangerous area out there. Then we went to Pine and Yale and brought him home, and just demonstrating to this man in my actions the love of Jesus Christ. And I believe he was able to see God in that scenario. And you know what? I got home like 12:30 at night, you know, that night. And sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in action, friend, is not always comfortable, but it's worth it to snatch somebody out of hell. And you can do it. You know, it might take just a kind word, a hug, changing somebody's tire, buying somebody's lunch, giving somebody a needed pair of clothing. If you've got two jackets and it's freezing outside and somebody is without a jacket on the sidewalk, what should you do to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ in action? Give them one, right? That's communicating the gospel in action. It speaks really loud. You know, you can communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ at the workplace. Who better to share the gospel with a plumber than another plumber who's a Christian? Who better to share the gospel with a mason, a concrete mason, than another person who's a concrete mason and a Christian? Who better to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a roofer than somebody, a Christian, who installs roofs? You can share the gospel in the workplace. You can share the gospel. You can have hobby evangelism. If you go out with a friend to fish or play, you know, fish or hunt or whatever sport it is you enjoy, you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ while participating in that hobby, that activity. Is that making sense?
Amen.
You know, you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ through friendship evangelism. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are very lonely, that are living out somewhere all by themselves, and they hardly ever see another person in the boondocks. You know, you can be a friend to the friendless
And just by spending some time with that person, you're communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ through your action, and you can save their soul from hell, friends. We all have a responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how needy we are. Remember this. There's always somebody out there needier than you and me.
That's right.
That makes sense?
God bless you.
You agree with that? If so, say amen.
Amen.